Thank you for this time together. We appreciate your word and that it's applicable, and that we need to distinguish in the Bible what's being spoken to us as Christians as to what is spoken to other people in different dispensations, different saints. We thank you that we have the Spirit of God who can delineate these things and teach us these things, and we appreciate that. Look forward to what you have for each one of us today, and we'll thank you as we do now in Christ's name. Amen. We've been looking at Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, at the word type. So it's only a type. We're going to try to finish this up and move on to another type in August. But it's only a type when God calls it a type. Many people make types out of all kinds of things that are not types, but we've been looking very systematically in detail at biblical types, what actually says it's a type, and then why it's a type. So we've been studying this one for months, and it's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we'll pick up verse 6. Now we command, that word is to charge or to strongly advise. There's no commandment here like the Ten Commandments. There's no negative penalty, but it's strong, good advice. Now we command you, brethren, he's talking to believers, in the character, the name belonging to our Lord, the head of the body, Jesus, our Savior, who is Christ, the glorified one, that you withdraw, separate. That's separation. It's withdraw. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to brethren, to spiritual believers. And he's telling them to withdraw yourselves from every brother. That's another fellow Christian who's either under a trespass in any, or sinning. He's acting unrighteous. He's not acting godly. But what? That walketh. Now, this word walketh is having a lifestyle, who walketh disorderly and not after the tradition. This word tradition is the things that are handed down. This would be Paul's grace, New Testament doctrine, plus the example and things that he displayed to them. That's from the context in our studying. Which you received, where? Of us. This is New Testament traditions. We spoke on that one Sunday. For yourselves know, the facts, how you ought to follow. That word follow, we're going to get back to all of this, and I'm going to summarize 10 points from this. Follow is the word mimic, if you haven't changed that yet. How you are to mimic us. That's the actual practice of the type. The practicing of a type is the mimicking. The mimicking isn't a pretender who sits there and imitates other people or masquerades as someone else. Mimicking means you actually have the ability to do the type that you are mimicking. This is because of regeneration, the indwelling of the triune God. Imitate us because we were not idle among you. This word idle means insubordinate. We're going to get back to this. Verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Naught. That word naught means gratis. We didn't eat any man's bread just for free. We didn't eat any man's bread just expecting a free loaf of bread, a gratis. We didn't eat it that way. But wrought with labor and travail, he labored and he sweat over it. Nothing wrong, we had a message on that, nothing good and wrong with good, dirty, sweating labor. Paul did it. Day, night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. That word chargeable is the word to emburden. It means to put a heavy load on someone else, a heavy burden that's going to be upon them. Not because we have not power or authority. This means Paul had apostolic authority given to him as the apostle and as the steward of the dispensation of grace. He could have did this. It was his right. He said he had the right to do this, but he says, but to make ourselves an example. That word sample there is type. That's our word type. So Paul deliberately gave up his apostolic authority to make a type for these people. Now, if you've been following me for weeks, Paul observed through them from the very first time he was there in Acts. He observed that there was a tendency among the Thessalonians not to work. He saw that when he initially started the church. There were those there who wanted to sponge off of others. And so he noticed that, and he was led by the Spirit of God not to enforce apostolic authority upon them for them to feed him, for them to gratuitously give him food, support his ministry. But instead, he took on his trade, which was, we saw that in Corinth. Helen, I saw where his shop probably was in Corinth on this main street. He had a tent-making shop. He would make tents. And he would do it at nighttime, and he would do it during the daytime. Whenever he wasn't ministering his apostolic gift, he would be making tents, not only to support himself, but everyone else who was traveling with him. And so he did that, and it's a strong adversative. But in order that a type we might give to your advantage, he deliberately did not enforce his apostolic authority, because if he did, he would not have produced a type. A type is a pattern that is laid out that others can follow. They can trace. They can do it. So Paul gave them a type that they were to follow, and he did it by not enforcing his rights. And that is such a good point here. So many people say, but it's my right. I told you of a woman in Grants Pass who came in the back, and she said to me, I am not teaching Sunday school any longer. I've done this for 10, 15, I forgot, it was a long time. And she said, I'm not going to do it anymore, because not one person has ever come to me and said, thank you. By the way, I encourage you to express your appreciation to those who are serving here. Do it. I try to do it. Try to encourage each other. And she said, I won't do it anymore. And I said, then you're doing it for the wrong reason, and I think it's right you shouldn't do it. So I said, I'll get someone else. God will provide. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you're supposed to use your gift out of agape love, which means love does not seek its own things. You don't love to get love. You do things. Love is in action. And you do things in action to express your love to others, even if they don't love you back. And there's many verses for that. We're going to see as we go on, Paul here did this, did not do. By the way, she turned around, she was admonished, and she said, I'm going to do it, and she's going to do it out of love, and she continued after I spoke to her. Sometimes I was very blunt when I would address people, and if I was led. Richard would say I was a Yankee. right? Paul did this out of agape love. We're going to see that. He was loving them. And he saw that there was a need. It goes on, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded, we charged you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." This is a different thing. He said, first, separate from anyone. We should go through my 10 points. Anyone who's insubordinate, unruly. Now he brings in, if anyone doesn't work, doesn't desire to work, and wants a free gift, gratis, wants to sponge off of others, they don't eat. I've expressed this to you over and over again. This is completely opposite to Christendom and the world system. The world system says we are to feed everyone. We live in a welfare country right now. And in our welfare country, it keeps giving out welfare, food stamps, everything else. It irritates me to no end, first of all, because they hold up the line at the grocery stores. But at the grocery store, when I see a man and a woman who are not married, and they got all of these illegitimate children with them, and they're online, and they've got these huge orders full of mostly junk that I wouldn't normally buy for, first of all, they're ridiculous, they're non-nutritional. And they buy all this stuff, and then she gets up there and says, "Oh no, this is his order," and they each have their separate food stamps and everything else. It just irritates me to no end. First of all, you almost want to slap the guy in the head, but they're unsaved, they're Satan's children, that's the way it goes. They'll get theirs in the end. Hey, whatever. I'm not telling you what to do in that. I would say it's a government program. If you need it and you're led to take it, take it. We were so poor once. I went down and I said, we had no food in the house. And then I did a dumb thing. I went to the mission, and this guy from Tennessee was in sin, and he came forward, and I took him and I put him in a tent. And then I gave him our last little bit of food that we had, and Helen said, "Well, what are we eating?" And I set him up, and he started working, and then eventually he had sinned. He was at Tennessee Temple and at the seminary, and he had sinned, and we got him right. Anyway, he sent him back to his folks, Chester Tipton. Chester. But anyway, we didn't have anything, and I got food stamps, and this is a Helen can testify. I got them, and I brought them home to her, and we were in seminary. And I looked at her, and we were going to go to the store. We were at church? Okay. So we're at the church, and so I had these book of food stamps, and then I was giving it to her, and then I tore them up, remember? I took them, and I ripped them all up, and I threw them in the garbage. And I said to her, if we are led by the Spirit to be here at this church, and God can't take care of us, then I'm serving the wrong God. And I said, there's something wrong with all this. And I threw them in the garbage, and we never used them. We went through up and down times. I'm not saying that. But I never used it. By the way, I'm not telling you what to do. You do what the Spirit of God does. This was something that was in my mind that I said, if I'm down here and I'm pastoring this church and the Holy Spirit led me here and God's not going to provide for me, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. That was my understanding. You could talk to me about it. Anyway, let's go on. Verse 12. Now them that are such, we command, we charge and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their very own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. That's a good statement. And if any man obey, If any man obey not the word of this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. That word no company is different than what we read before. This word means not to mingle with, not to have close company, mingling fellowship with them. Do not mingle with them that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as a hostile enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So what we looked here is this is Christianity. It is completely opposite that's being taught in most pulpits today. Most pulpits today are preaching that we are to reach out our hand and we are to feed everyone. We are to take care of everyone. But Paul very specifically told the church here, if someone doesn't desire to work, then they're not to eat. They are to work with their own hands. Once I was convinced of this from Scripture, which again was in Grants Pass, I no longer gave money to people that came to the pastor all the time looking for a handout. I would give them a handout sometimes, but I made them work for it. I told you in this church, giving an own example, when there was a man in this church, he's not here any longer, but when he was here, he was laid off from work. And it went on for several weeks, and he had no money. And I knew about it. A lot of you didn't. And they were getting really low on their funds. I told him, I'm not going to give you money, but I will give you a job. I couldn't take him to the pharmacy with me, but I could take him to my home. And I told him what we actually, Helen wanted the windows washed. So I said, you know that three-story big building? I said, wash these windows. But then we found out that when I put the plywood on the hot tub, remember the hot tub where you were baptized? The hot tub. And I put the extension ladder on top of it to get that very, very high window with the pole and the squeegee. He went up and we found out he had a problem with heights and he was going to fall off. And so I had to go up there and he held the ladder. And, but he worked. I made him work. And then I paid him. And these are my principles. I get them from Scripture. I'm just sharing them with you. So let's go through 10 summaries of this work type. 10 summaries of this work type. Number one on the summary. If you do not desire to work, what is the Christian principle? What do you do out of agape love? We're going to get to agape love. But what's your answer to a person, I don't care if it's male or female, that refuses to work? They don't desire to work at all. They just want to eat food. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:15. So in 3:15, here's the principle. No, that's not 3:15. 3:10? Yeah. If anyone would not desire to work, neither should he eat. So 3:10. There's the first principle we can get from this type. So in laying down this type, the type is that you work with your own hands in quietness and you're not insubordinate. But here, as you're doing that, here's the first Christian principle. If a man doesn't desire to work, he doesn't eat. I don't care what Christendom says. I don't care what Pastor so-and-so on Sunday morning that you like speaks on there. I don't care what the social system out there is dictating. That's the world system, as Pastor Schaefer's telling us. That doesn't concern us. We're not out of the world as to our source. We don't get our principles of living from the world system and from Satan. I do believe those are satanic, demonic doctrines that are affecting Christendom. Pastor Schaefer spoke on that last week. I add my amen to what he said. It said in Timothy, they were going to come, these seducing spirits, into the church, and that the church would follow doctrines that come as their source from devils, demons. Demons. This is demonic. But the principle from Scripture is, man doesn't desire to eat, he doesn't eat. If a man doesn't desire to work, he doesn't eat. Number two that we get from this is to fulfill the new commandment of Christ. The new commandment of Christ is to love one another. Who are you loving? You're to use agape love towards other Christians, whether they're carnal or spiritual or in trespass. I know a man was speaking this. I guess I've been informed he's still speaking that. I feel that saddens me. You have right in Galatians where it says, if a man's overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore him. And it says right before that, to fulfill the law of Christ. I mean, how more pungent can it be? But yet this guy's teaching that you only are to love spiritual Christians. That's baloney. You love spiritual Christians, carnal Christians, or Christians in trespass in different ways. But you love them, which means you sacrifice for their maturity. So look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So he's bringing up agape love here. He's bringing up agape love in this context, and he's giving them an example of that agape love that he even sacrificed his own apostolic rights to provide for them a type that they could mimic. So a type is the pattern. It's out there. It's established. The type was established. But the mimicking is the actual performing of that which was patterned. So here we have agape love. Look at, keep your finger here, but go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, where he also spoke of this subject. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel concerning God only, but also our own souls, our own lives, our soulish life, because you were beloved unto us. You were beloved. You see, when you love someone, you do things. It should be obvious, but it's not always obvious. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he says, though the more abundantly I love you, what did he say? The less I am loved in return, but I will be spent to the full. Agape expects no return, but he did this because he said, they were beloved. They were loved. And so because they were beloved, he sacrificed his apostolic rights. Can you imagine how exhausting that was to speak to the church day and night, and then when you're not speaking, to labor and travail day and night to get enough to support everyone? And then to hold that back. But he saw the problem. So fulfill the commandment of Christ to love. You might put in there also, we spent a whole week on this, that this is an expression of godliness. You're expressing agape love, and not providing food for someone who doesn't work is their best interest. because you want them to work, because godliness is something that should be displayed to them. And we spent a whole week on this. What is a characteristic of God? We went Old Testament to New Testament. God continually works. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. And He continues to do things for us. So it's by not giving them food is encouraging them to actually be godly in displaying characteristics of God, which is work ethic. Number three, there was a type established. We already covered this, but it's in 2 Thessalonians 3:9. Not because we have not authority. That word of power is authority. You know the difference between power and authority. Power is ability. Authority is the right to act. I have ability to go into the refrigerator and get food out of the refrigerator and eat it. I have hands, I have a mouth, I have the ability to do that. But if I'm visiting your house, I have no authority to go into your refrigerator or cupboards and just take what I want. I don't have the right. So authority means you have the rights. Let's go on. But to make ourselves a type. Paul made himself a type for them to follow because he observed that they had a problem. And he loved them that much. He loved them that much. Unto you to follow, imitate, or mimic us. So a type was established. So the type is already established. We have the type of Paul. By the way, what can we see in this type? Paul labored day and night with his own hands. He continually did that. By the way, that's been a principle of my own ministry. I talked to your dad about this. I told Andy, you know Andy, he's been here. I said, one of the principles in my ministry is I never ask for money. Never. And I never preached on demanding money. The deacons came to me once and they said, you're not preaching on giving. We want you to preach on giving. I said, okay, next week. Remember that? And I preached on Christian giving, that Christian giving is only to be directed by the Spirit and that we don't expect anything from unbelievers. So at the end of my message, when I got done proving that we're not under the tithe, we don't give 10%. We don't give 30%. We give as we're led by the Spirit according to what we have, not according to what we don't have. Then I told the congregation, they had the offering. They didn't have a box. By the way, I like that new box. They had offering plates there. So I took the offering plates. I separated. I said, I never check out what anybody gives. I don't really. It's not an interest to me. And I said, after what I just spoke, if you're here and you're unsaved and you gave something here because you think it's going to make you better to God and get you into heaven, then you come up here, and I asked the deacons to come forward. I said, give them back their checks. I said, if you don't come up here and tell me that five is mine, because I don't know if it is or it isn't, but if you wrote a check and it's up here and you gave it and you're not saved and you're doing it for some other reason, you come get it. Then I said, if you're a Christian here and you did it for some other reason other than you were led by the Spirit to give out of agape love, then you come back and get your check too, because we don't want it and we don't need it. And I said, we only want money that's God's providing His way. Deacons never asked me to speak on giving again. Never. Never. It was done. Huh?
Push the treasure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Frank was a good guy. Ed Lawrence, Kerry Allen's dad, and Frank Rich. tremendous spiritual men in my ministry. I almost want to cry to think about them. How dedicated they were to the Word and serving God. I just appreciate those guys. They're both with the Lord now, both of them. Number four, don't lose heart in doing good. That's in 3:13. But ye brethren, he's speaking to people, I'm going to get to a point here, brethren, those who are Christians that he really seriously thought were Christians, be not weary, don't become, that word weary means faint-hearted, where your decision-making becomes weak and feeble. Where you're not really making the right decisions, you're weak because you're getting weary in doing what, now that word well-doing is that which is fitting and proper. Don't become weary in doing what is fitting and proper. By the way, in this context, what would be wearisome in doing what's fitting and proper in this context? What was the issue? Well, there's actually two. I've been emphasizing one. If you don't desire to eat, if you don't desire to work, you don't what? Eat. Now, when you get somebody with the sad puppy eyes coming over, or a con artist who comes over, oh, but Paul doesn't understand. And they start singing from, I think it was from Porgy and Bess, nobody knows. The troubles I've seen, nobody knows the sorrow. You know, and they start doing the puppy dog eyes. And especially if it's family. Family knows how to get in there. And especially if it's family. And then you, out of agape love, have to tell them, I got a pile of dirt over here I need moved. You want to dig me a hole? You want to do something? I'll pay you. And you get well weary, faint in heart to make the right decisions. That word weary means faint of heart, where you're not going to be making the right decisions because what's fitting and proper is contrary maybe to your soulish emotions or what's being expected of you by what others may think. Don't become weary in well-doing. That's a good verse, and that could have a whole series of messages on its own. It's used in other places. Number five. This is cool. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. The Lord is associated with all Christians, and you're not alone in this matter. So don't become weary in well-doing, in that which is well-doing, fitting and proper. And then to know this, look what he ends the in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give to you peace always by all means. And then look at this. The Lord, not be, is with you all. Now what word with is? You've been with me for a long time. There's two words for with. What are they? Soon and meta. Soon means closely with. I told you, if I go to a restaurant, shopping mall, anything, I am with a whole lot of people. But if I go there with my wife, I'm soon. I'm with her in a close company. So soon means close company associated with. Metta means generally with. Which word do you think is here? It's not what you think. Which one would you expect? Soon. But it's, better double check, metta. Why would he put metta? Not intimately close associated with, but generally associated with. Why do you think he used meta? I love doing this. It's a teaching method, but I got to move on. The clock doesn't like me doing this. So I'll have to give you the answer. In the context, he's talking to many different people, which I'm going to get to in the next point. Many different people, some of them he knows are Christians and are spiritual. Some of them are carnal and trying to sponge off the church. Some of them are carnal and insubordinate. And then some, they're in the church, they claim to be Christians, but he calls them certain ones. I'm going to get to that in a minute. So you have all these different people in a church gathering. And so the Lord is associated with all of them. He may not be closely related to all of them right now because they're not in an abiding or spiritual relationship. They're not correct and righteous. But one of the things that comforts us is no matter who we're with in the church, even ones who are insubordinate or not following godliness, yet we can know the Lord, the head of the body, the Lord, the head of the body, is associated with all of them. And how does that comfort me? I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this. The Lord is with all of these people that I've addressed in this epistle. I think that's cool. Anyway, let's go on. Number six, eat your own bread with quietness. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness, not a busybody, not this actually means a disturbed, upset, untranquil mind, but in quietness, a settled spirit, knowing you've done a hard day's work, you're eating the fruit of your labor. There's a good feeling in that. I always get a good feeling when I work hard. When I went to Wyoming, I almost killed myself this last time working. That's literally true. Almost killed myself working. I came in so exhausted. I lost 25 pounds. I was exhausted. And I'd come in, but I'd look over what I've accomplished, and it felt good. It felt good. But that demon in the sprinkling system did not make me feel good. I had a demon bug in me. I know it was a demon. She laughs at me. But he was right in the sprinkling system, and he was mocking me. Mocking me. That little devil. Oh, they're not devils. They're demons. I don't care. There was a little demonic gremlin demon in that sprinkling system, hassled me to, I still hassling me because I got a call from Phil yesterday saying, your lawn's turning brown. Why did you shut off the sprinkling system? I didn't. Well, only one part is getting watered. Please, Phil, fix it. But I should have said, please, Phil, fix it. But there's a demon there. Be careful. There's a demon. Throw water on them, they multiply. No, that's a joke. Let's go on. So eat your own bread with an undisturbed spirit. Eat your very own bread. Number seven, if someone has an insubordinate lifestyle, they are to be avoided. Withdraw from them. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we charge you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw, draw back, separate yourselves from every brother that has a lifestyle disorderly. That's a military term. It means insubordinate. What does that mean? Paul had written 1 Thessalonians. He had given them a type when he was there before, and there were some people that were mocking him. They were insubordinate. They were saying, he doesn't have any right to tell us. He doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know the particulars of what's going on here. How could he actually tell us what to do concerning me? And they were insubordinate. They were not arranging themselves under others who had authority in this issue. I would say the pastors of the church, or a pastor, the deacons of the church, the other members of the church who said, hey, you don't want to work, you don't eat. Hey, we don't have to listen to Paul in this. There was two different things going on here. Those who desire not to work, but wanted food, and to those who were insolent, insubordinate, not arranging under authority. By the way, if I ever act like that, you need to correct me. But I need to arrange myself under the social committee when it's their authority. I need to arrange under the deacons when they're talking about things here. I have my realm of authority in preaching the word and making sure that with Richard that everything here happens for the glory of God. But there's others who have other ministries, and I need to arrange myself under them. So if someone's insubordinate, having not just insubordinate, but having a lifestyle of insubordination, then you withdraw from them. You're not to mingle with no work busybodies. That's in 2 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 14. You can read through this. It says in verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk, have a lifestyle among you, insubordinate, not working at all, but are busybodies. That word not working at all is they went around work. If there was work that had to be done over here, let's say there was a work day, or we're all meeting, we're going to do this, and there's a work day, they would skirt around the work, make sure they're not there, be absent. So they skirted around work, or they did the old soft shoe, you know. Oh, somebody wants me to work. Razzle dazzle. Oh, that was from Chicago, the play. Razzle dazzle. How do you get somebody off from murder? I'm going to razzle-dazzle them. It's true. The juries. But razzle-dazzle them and get off. That's what they did. They skirted around work. But where did they skirt into? Somehow, we had a couple like this in Grants Pass. Somehow, when they knew it was pastor's dinner time, there was a knock at the door. Oh, you're eating? Sit down at the table. And they'd invite themselves for dinner. Remember those characters? They just happened to show up at dinner time and invited themselves by sitting at the table and gossip, gossip, blah, 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 so that you're trying to serve food. Finally, Helen would put the food there and we'd eat. But eventually you have to say, hey, this is a pattern. Get lost. Get lost. So they were busybodies. So these people, you're told in verse 14, not to have company with. And that's a change of word. It's not a void. It's not to withdraw from. But this word means, just like I said, they're skirting around work, but they show up at dinner time. What do you do with them? Don't mingle with them. Don't mingle with them. Don't have them sit down at the dinner table. They're busybodies, skirting work. Don't mingle with them. Don't have a close, soon relationship with them. Number 9, certain ones. We covered that. It's in 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we charge you, that if any, certain ones would not work. And then you have in verse 11, for we hear that there are certain ones which walk, who have a lifestyle disorderly. And then verse 15, yet count him not as an hostile enemy, but admonish him as a brother. What I wanted to bring up here is, which is in contrast to where he says brethren here. When you're in the church, And Paul knew this. There are some Christians whose testimonies were very clear and they're very active in the church, and you can see they're there. I know your dad preached several messages on this, and he used to quote an old Quaker saying, I don't know if you remember that, Richard, but he'd say, the only one I'm sure about is you and me, and sometimes there's something I wonder about thee. His dad used to quote something similar to that. It's a Quaker saying. But when you're in the church, there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians, and what Paul is saying here is they all claim to be brothers. But there are certain ones in this church, certain ones who are insubordinate, unruly, insolent. And then there's other ones who won't work and are busybodies and doing this. And he calls them certain ones here are doing this. You know, there's some people you're just not sure of. They claim to be Christians, but you don't see anything being produced by God in their life. So what did Paul call them? They're in the church. They're professing to be brothers and sisters in Christ. What do you call them? Paul, throughout his epistles, I'm been reemphasizing that to you folks. He calls them certain ones. Certain ones. What are they? They're professing Christians. What they are, God knows. Let's leave it there. So you admonish them and you treat them not as an enemy, but treat them as a brother, even though in the back of your mind, you're marking them off as certain ones. And that's our last point, number 10. By the way, did you get 9 so far? This is the 10th. Mark off in your mind ones who do not obey the epistle. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. And if any man obey not, that word obey means not hearing. They refuse to hear I can't hear you. Won't listen to Scripture. Many times in my ministry, I've gone up to people and I've said, this is what the Word of God says, or they'll ask me a question, I'll say, this is what the Word says, and they'll come back to me and they say, don't tell me about Scripture. That happened to you, recently last year. Don't tell me about that. I don't want to hear about it from Scripture. Well, I have nothing to offer if I don't use the Scriptures. What in the world do I have to offer you? And I have nothing. But they say, I don't want to hear it. Well, that's these people. I don't want to hear this epistle. I don't want to hear from Paul. And what are they really saying? I don't want to hear Scripture. I don't want to hear what God has to say. And so he says, if any man will not hear this epistle, he says, note that man. That word note means mark them off. It means to put a distinguishing mark. This guy, this woman, does not want to hear Scripture. You put a check mark. Where do you do that? In your mind. Why are you doing that? Because for several reasons. One is, I got to be careful around this person. It protects you. You need to protect yourself. If you have people that don't want to hear Scripture, that should be something that marks in your mind, I need to watch out for this person. I need to be careful. Protect yourself. Put a distinguishing mark in your mind on that person. What's the next thing? Something your dad used to say all the time. You said it recently once. I don't want to stand too close to you when the lightning strikes. That's what his dad used to say. Boom. If they are believers, God will judge them. And you don't want to be partakers with them in that judgment. So, I'm way over, but I wanted to finish. Actually, we started late, so I'm only over a little bit, but I am over. All right, we'll give you a break. If you have any questions, see me after. I'm kind of done with this type. I'm going to move on to the next one in whenever. Father, thank you for this time together, August. Thank you for the time together. We appreciate your word. Sometimes what it says goes contrary to what we would think or expect, but it's still right and it's still the word of God. Thank you for enabling us, giving us the power to do your will. And we thank you in Christ's name.